Spirit, spirit, curious. 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 Welcome everyone to Spiritorious Podcast with me, Josefina, and my sister Emma.
Yes, welcome.
We are so happy that you are tuning in to this podcast to listen to us speak. That's actually amazing. So welcome. You are so welcome. And today we have a very, very special episode, and it's a very deep one, and we love to go deep. We love to talk about these topics that we talk about today, and you will meet an amazing guest. And the guest we have on today is Isabelle von Fallois. And we will introduce you all to her very soon, but we just wanted to mention that we actually recorded this episode back in February, and we have been longing to release it. But it's such a divine timing that we are releasing it on the 24th of June. It's a 6th month, June, and it's a 6 day, 4 plus 2 equals 6. And it's a 6 year. This year, 2022, is the year of Mary Magdalene. And we are going to talk a lot about Mary Magdalene today with Isabelle. So it feels so divine. And it was actually also Isabelle's suggestion to release the episode today. So very much divine timing, very much magic in the air. And it's also episode 13. And 13 is a very divine feminine number and holds the frequency of the goddess, I would say, the divine feminine energy. So, well, you're in for a treat, and you're in for a very deep and profound episode.
Indeed. It's like sparks inside of me just talking about it.
Yes, it's so much sparks. And okay, so Emma, should we just introduce Isabelle to the listeners?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Isabelle, she's such a wonderful human being. She radiates love and compassion. And I think you will feel that. No, I know that you will feel it when you listen to her. She has such a wonderful voice, and it's just such a blessing to be in her energy.
She's like an angel herself. She's beaming with light and energy and radiance.
Yes, and I'm sure you will feel it. You will feel her presence and her powerful energy through this episode in your ears. We ask you to listen not only with your ears, we ask you to listen with all of your senses to this episode, to have an open heart and just listen with all of you. Spiritorious, 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 spiritorious. So Isabelle, she is a mystic. She is a best-selling author. She has written the book, The Power of Your Angels. And that is the only one of her books currently available in English. But she has also written a powerful and amazing book about Mary Magdalene, and that is actually being translated now into English. So hopefully that will be released next year. And we are, we mentioned that in the episode. We mentioned this book that she got, you know, as a transmission. And I'm so excited to read that book. We both are. So that's the book that we are mentioning in the episode, but it is available in German for all of you Germans listening. So it's available in German, and this year it will also be released in Italian. So stay tuned. And okay, so Isabelle, she's a teacher, and she is the founder of the Angel Life Coach Training. She also channeled another kind of healing method called the Isis Angel Healing. Sounds amazing, I think.
Yeah.
And she also works with Magdalene Healing, and she has also created the Sacred Women's Sessions. So yes, so she's doing so much in the world, And she's such a profound healer and mystic, I would say. And it's enough, as we mentioned, it's enough to just be in her presence and you will just know and you will just feel that.
And she's also actually a Kundalini teacher as well.
Yes, she's a Kundalini yoga teacher. Yes. And in the beginning of the episode, Isabel shares her profound story of healing from leukemia, from the fourth stage leukemia, which seemed impossible to heal from, but she healed it. And it's such a powerful and hopeful story. So it will give so much hope just listening to this story and how she also connected with the angels throughout this healing journey. She has actually experienced several near-death experiences. And I think that is one of the things that maybe has given her such a unique closeness to the subtle realms, to the light realms, and to all of the light beings, such as Mary Magdalene, the angels, Isis, the goddesses, you know, all the deities out there bearing light. She has such a close connection to them. And she channels all of these beings, basically. And she, well, she works with them. Yeah. They are her guides. And she sends basically their transmissions through her. And in this episode, she also holds space for a guided meditation where she lets us connect to Mary Magdalene. And this is a meditation that you can do every morning if you want to, and if you want to feel closer to Mary Magdalene and connect to Mary Magdalene. And it felt so good afterwards. Yeah, and it's
really take the chance. Close your eyes, lean back, and just listen to Isabel's words.
Yes, and then you can go back to this episode and just, you know, tune into her energy again and just listen to it.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is a journey. This is a wonderful episode. And it feels amazing to release it on Midsommarafton here in Sweden, Midsummer's Eve, which is a very magical, auspicious day here in Sweden where we celebrate nature, we celebrate love, and we stay up all night, you know, dancing in the night, the never ending day, I would say. The sun never sets, basically. And what a day to release this profound, deep and loving episode. And this is not only for the meditation, but this is really an episode to go back to, because I felt I have been editing it and, you know, just preparing it for the release. So I've listened to it several times, and each time I get a new message.
Yeah.
Because this episode is filled with so many messages on so many different levels. Depending on where you are, you know, depending on your day, and maybe also depending on where you are in your cycle, you will receive different messages.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
And she is so, like we said, so magical in so many ways. And in the end, I tell her that I would like to have her with me every day, all day long, because she brings so much wisdom to my life. And then she says that a lot of people actually feel her presence and call her in when they need her. And I think the next day or so, an amazing event occurred where I saw Isabel sitting like next to me in my bed. I just felt her presence. It was amazing.
Yes, that was the day after we recorded, right?
I think it was the day after, yeah.
Yeah.
She was so present. I just saw her right beside me.
Yeah, I remember you told me. It was so amazing. And she has also come to me in my dreams. And I also received a lot of messages from her in one of my very deep meditations that I did maybe back in March or something like that, March, April. Yeah, that is really... It's really cool and it's amazing. So have a wonderful Midsummer's Eve and midsommar, glad midsommar, alla svenskar.
Yay!
Yay! We are going to dance today.
And pick some flowers.
And pick some flowers, put under our pillow. Yes. Please, everyone, meet the healer, the mystic, the teacher, the profound and wonderful Isabel von Follower. Spiritorious, 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 spiritorious.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast, Isabel von Fallois.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be with the two of you right now.
We are so happy to be with you. We have been longing for this conversation ever since we reached out to you, and we are so happy to get to meet you now.
Over and I think both of us are a little starstruck.
Yes.
Nervous to meet you.
Yes, definitely starstruck.
Oh, I'm so honored. Thank you so much. It's so lovely.
Thank you. And yes, and you're based in, or you live in Germany.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
I'm just going to mention right now, because I've been also longing very much for your book to come out in English.
Yes.
So, because you have written a very wonderful book in German. What is it called in German?
In German, Der Brief der Magdalena, which would translate The Letter of Magdalene, of the Magdalene.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. So do you know when it will come out in English?
It looks like this year will come out the Italian version, and we are just now doing the English version. So I hope latest next year, but maybe if some miracles happen, maybe this year, I don't know. But we are really working intensely on the English translation.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I will be one of the first buyers, I promise.
Thank you. Merci.
And well, I can just start by shortly just mention how I came in contact with you, because the first time I met you, it was on Mallorca, the very magical island of Mallorca, with so much beautiful female or feminine energy, and at Rama Institute in Mallorca, and you had a conversation with Gurdjieff, and I was completely blown away. It was such a magical moment. You just radiate love and compassion. So it's just wonderful to just be in your presence. I just have to say that. I would say it was a very important moment for me, actually, that day when we had the opportunity to listen to you. And you also then introduced me, actually, to Mary Magdalene.
Wow.
Well, I had, of course, heard of her, but not in that way. And so since then, I've been digging deep into Magdalene teachings and the Magdalene energy. And we will get into all of that later. And if you could just start, because you have such an amazing story. So if you could just start by just telling your story and how you came to be the person you are today.
First of all, I want to thank you for this incredible introduction, and I'm very touched that my presence and together with Guru Jagat really was so impressive for you. And yeah, thank you very much. This is really, you can feel, I'm very touched. Yes, my story is quite intense and long, but I try to make it as short as possible. My first profession, and I thought the mission of my life was to be a concert pianist, and music was everything for me, really very, very special. And I had a scholarship in California, and I only came back to Germany because I had my 30th birthday and wanted to be with my then partner and my family, and thought I'd just come back for that important birthday. And a few days later, I was jogging, which I did every day. And the relationship with my partner then was very, very difficult. And I was jogging on that street, and very far, I saw this cross with Jesus Christ on it. And I had somehow lost my connection. I mean, I tried to pray because I always had a connection to the light realm when I was a child already. But through that relationship, it was like there was a wall between me and that direct connection. And so I thought, okay, let's jog there and maybe pray in front of the cross, and maybe I will come through that wall again in my life. And I was still hundreds of meters away from that cross. Until today, I have no idea how I came from point A to point B. The only thing I know is that I woke up lying in the mossy grass underneath the cross, Jesus Christ above me, and I knew I'm deadly ill and he is watching above me. And my connection was back in the one of the toughest moments of my life, because I knew within my heart, I knew within my bones that I was not severely but deadly ill. And so I got the diagnosis of leukemia. I had been checking because I felt bad already 1 year, but nobody found it. But after that fainting in front of the cross, they did more checkups, but I looked great because I came from California, you know, I was 10. So everyone said, oh, you look just beautiful, nothing is
nothing wrong with you.
Nothing wrong, but I just knew something was very wrong. Yeah. And I really remembered like it was yesterday. I was in hospital and they did this bone marrow punction, which is to see if there's leukemia or not or whatsoever. And it was like 5 minutes to midnight or so. I was with two women in the room and the doctor like pulled the door open and said, Isabel, sit up. But I was so weak, I was not able to sit anymore. I said, I'm sorry, I can't sit, talk with me. And he said, you know what? You have leukemia in the last stage and you will die in three weeks. And you will have chemotherapy and that will happen. You will lose your hair, you will lose the lungs. And he was talking like he was in front of an audience of students. And while he was doing that, you must know in the same week, I had already lost my house, my partner and my scholarship. So I was there and he was standing in front of my bed, talking like this, like nonstop. And I had already visions since I was a small child, since my very first near-death experience. So while he was talking, I saw, because they wanted to start in that night with chemotherapy, I saw if in my devastated situation with losing the house, losing the partner, losing everything nearly, and nearly my life, if I started now, I just saw it like a movie, I would die immediately. There was no chance for me to survive. Mm-hmm. So I called my parents and said, you have to come here right now. Because I need to sign a paper, but I can only sign it if you are with me. So they came, but the main doctor was not there. So they had to go back home, which is an hour away, and came the next day. And I signed, it's my responsibility if I die. But I did. So to make a very, very long story short, I was at home like 2.5 weeks and I used this time to forgive my partner because I knew if you don't forgive, it's like poison in your body. And I knew if I don't use the time wisely, I have no chance to survive. So what did I do? I did forgive day and night. And 2.5 weeks later, I was completely in forgiveness and peace with this partner, ex-partner of mine. But I was so weak that I was just, if I was only sitting half a minute, I was fainting in bed. And so my parents knew they had to bring me back to hospital. And we couldn't even go because I was too weak. So I had to go into a hospital near. They had to bring me in the ICU. How do you say ICU? Intensive care unit. And to prepare me for traveling. So it was crazy. It was really crazy. But my mind was strong again. And I was like peaceful. And when I came back to the hospital, I said, what? You're still alive? And I said, yes, I'm still alive. Now I'm ready to fight. My brain now is ready to go through it. And I knew, you know, I just knew my visions had always been coming true. I always knew if someone would have an accident. I always saw if someone would die from age 7, nearly 8, because the near-death experience was shortly before I became 8. And so I knew I had to go out of hospital to really clear my mind to be able to go through that, you know. And at that time, I didn't know what I know today. So I would have had other possibilities, but I had to go through that, you know. I had to go through all of that.
Yes.
to be the person I am now, because I really worked through my fears.
Yes, I can imagine. Wow.
Yeah, and this was like just the beginning. And then to make it short, it was a fight of life and death for 4 years. And after 4 years with doctors, healers, and everything, I just didn't believe in anyone anymore, I must be honest. And it was my birthday. And my birthday always is for me a day where I take decisions. So I felt I don't trust any human being anymore. So the only thing I can do now is to surrender even more into the hands of God, the angels, however you want to call them. And I just didn't see anyone anymore. I couldn't walk anymore because I had for 4 years very high fever, which was not able to stop. You know what is 2 weeks high fever, but can you imagine 4 years high fever? No,
it's actually not possible to imagine how that would
be. It was really, let's say, tough, you know. Yeah. you see, it's really the past. That's why I can laugh about it now, because it's really the past.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was, from that day I said, okay, just God, the angels, and I meditated and prayed nearly the whole day long. And 2 months later, after my birthday, I had my eyes closed, meditating, and I felt the air pressure totally changing in the room. And so I opened my eyes because I wanted to see what happened. And really right in front of me, up to the ceiling, was standing this huge, magnificent angel surrounded by emerald green light, telling me, finally, you can see me. Finally, you can hear me. I am Archangel Raphael. Now you can become healed. And I had like tears running down my face, goosebumps all over my body. And I knew now I am saved. I just knew.
Wow. I knew. I have goosebumps now.
And this was the moment which, of course, changed everything, because from that day on, he never went away anymore. And he told me exactly what I had to do to become healthy and healed. And this was just really amazing. And this, of course, changed my whole, let's say, direction of life, you know, because I thought I would travel as a concert pianist through the world, but now I do it in another way.
Amazing.
Yeah, and that was the point that after that, of course, after 6 months, no, let's say after only 2 months later, the angels told me in about 4 months, I mean, 2 months after the encounter, in about 4 months, you will open a studio and you will work with people, help them heal. And I was like, hello, I'm concert pianist. Do that. And to be honest, till today, I never did really promotion in the way normal people do that. And from the beginning, from the very first day I opened that studio, I had clients and they came from I don't know where, even with planes to see me. Because within the shortest time, people knew this was kind of different.
Yes. And that is also what you feel when you, when I met you, you can feel that immediately, that it's different, if you want to use that word. And it's something very miraculous and profound. It's such a huge, beautiful energy around you. So I can completely understand how people just are drawn to you.
Sorry. No, I think the story gives so much hope. So for so many people in difficult situations, and not just health-wise, you know, because I lost my house, I lost my partner, I lost nearly everything.
Yeah.
And I gained everything back in a much better way. You know, I have now the most loving husband at my side. You know, I have no problem with money. I'm healed from leukemia. So I understand, you know, I totally understand what it means to have no money. I know what it means to be in really tough relationships. I know what it means to look into the face of death for years. So this gives hope to people.
Yes.
Definitely. It's such a hopeful story.
I'm just so curious to know about more about the angels. But first, you know, this podcast will explore about spirituality and what it is for different kind of people. And how would you describe spirituality? What is for you?
For me, it is to believe in a higher force, that we are just not alone. This is spirituality, and it is for me to really try in every moment of your life to be the best version you can be, the highest version of yourself. This is for me spirituality, because for me it's not just when I'm sitting on my yoga mat meditating, it's the whole day and the whole night. And I think it is the purpose of everyone on the path of a light worker. It's not what we actually do, but what we are. And it's about becoming who we truly are. And our purest essence is love. And our highest version is love. And I think being spiritual means to do everything daily to become more and more loving towards others and also towards yourself. That's spirituality for me, to bring love into the world, no matter what I do, if I'm washing the dishes or if I'm channeling a meditation. You know, because just so many people always ask, what is my life purpose? You know, your life purpose is there where you are just now in this moment. And the life purpose of everyone incarnated right now, helping to bring back this world into peace, is to be the highest version. It's just it. It doesn't matter whether you open a yoga studio or you write a book or you are just taking care of your kids, which is, I mean, one of the highest things you can do. You know, I mean, being a mother and raising kids is such a high task. I mean,
yes, it is.
This is mastery. You know, if you really give your energy into it and know how important it is. So it's not about what people see in the outside and how famous or whatsoever you are, you know, because I had so many offers. I could be like up on the top. But with these offers, I would have sold my soul. And I prefer to be not known by everybody, but be able to do the deep work and to say no to the big money, but be true to my soul. Actually, it's about love, being the most loving version of yourself.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I also love this 40 days commitment you have on Instagram. And I'm trying to keep up and follow it. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And you know, it was also so beautiful when Mary Magdalene asked me to really ask people to do that. I mean, I do that all the time, but...
Could you just explain to our viewers what it's...
Yes, and may I explain why it's so important in this year? Because this year actually is the year of the Magdalene frequency, because 2022 is her number, but also the number 6, which is like... If you take 20 and 22, like 2022 is 6, is the number of the arc line and is the number of the 6-petaled rose, which is totally connected with Mary Magdalene. So it's really the year we have to bring out the Magdalene frequency into the world within us. And she is incredible powerful. She was incredible powerful. I mean, what kind of aura and arc lines must have had this woman that after 2000 years we speak so much about her. You know, it's just what an imprint has left this woman. And she is very, very clear with her words. She is not just love and light. She's very, very clear. And she said to me, you know, out there in the world are all these challenges. It's so modern. But if you use the words challenge, you will be challenged. It's not very smart. So that was the reason why she said 40-day commitment, because a commitment is something you make with your soul and with your heart. It's a completely different kind of energy. And the 40-day commitment is about stop complaining about anything. I mean, you can talk about things which are not working. You can do it with a discernment, but not complaining and not judgment. For instance, I was asked in my last event, they asked me, but what shall I do when I have so much pain in my body? How is it possible not to complain? Then I said, believe me, I know about pain. I had infinite pain during leukemia and other times in my life. But I mean, I had the good luck. My father was a martial arts trainer, and he always told me, and I started judo with 4 years old. So he told me, a judo fighter doesn't know pain. So for me, being able to handle pain, I learned since I could walk. So this was a good one, because otherwise I wouldn't have come so good through leukemia. And the point is, what I saw during leukemia and all the pain was that I still could move my fingers. I still could speak, even if I was not able to walk. And even if I had no hair anymore and no eyelashes and nothing and no eyebrows, I could still talk, you know? And people always forget, if something is wrong in the body, how many things are still working properly, you know? And you can say I have really a tough headache, or I have a migraine, or whatever, back pain. You can say it as a statement, but it's a big, big difference whether you say it as a statement or you are complaining. Oh, again, poor me. And you know, the energy goes immediately down instead of saying, okay, I'm just today not feeling so fine. And I really have some pain, but I still see what is fantastic in my life and what is still working, you know? And for me, the most important aha moment during leukemia was, it was a really tough day. I didn't know whether I would survive that day. And I turned on the TV in my room, because TV was the only thing, to be honest, where I could forget about my pain. When I was not, reading didn't work, but being like put into something was better. So once a day, I just turn on the television. And in that moment, there were the news, and it was the war in Chechnya. And I thought, oh my God, this was the big aha. How lucky am I? I just have a little bit of leukemia. I'm not watching my family getting shot, raped, or whatsoever. I am safe, and everybody is trying to save my life. I just have a little leukemia. And can you imagine? I mean, I was in the situation that I could die every moment. No one was allowed to touch me. They all came in with like coats and mask and gloves, and no one was allowed to touch me even for months, because every touch could have killed me. So it was really severe. But I realized I'm still in a very privileged situation, you know? And if you realize this once in your life, I mean, we have warm water, we have a roof above our heads. Every one of us has an own bed, you know? I mean, if you realize that, I mean, we can be grateful even with a lot of pain in our bodies, right? So no reason to complain. So that's about not complaining. And of course, the situation of the world is very interesting right now.
Yes.
It is, and we can admit that, you know? But the question is, how do I do that? And the other part of the commitment is, don't think and don't speak negatively about yourself. And to be honest, we all had interesting thoughts about ourselves, and we all did say not so lovely things about ourselves, things we would never say to the most beloved person in our world or to the best friend. We would never say things we say to ourselves. Yeah. And so this commitment is to really bring the awareness into the power of sound. You know, as a musician, I was always listening. I was always also listening to the unspoken, to the, and so I can hear the negative thoughts of people. So can you imagine the noise in the last 2 years for me?
Oh, no, we can't, because that it must have been wild.
So exactly. And if you know, I mean, I know you are also into Kundalini yoga, but the angels also told me, you know, it's not just that I know it now also from Kundalini yoga, but the angels told me before, like 18 years ago or so, they told me, you know what? If people truly knew how powerful each thought, each word is, they would never use a negative anymore. And every thought we have actually has an impact on the entire world. Everyone. I mean, every single one. And this is incredible. If you are really aware of that, you have kind of responsibility, right?
Yeah.
And that's what just Mary Magdalene wanted to make us aware of. And also the year of 2022 and the year of six and the Arcline. So I could talk hours about that, but I won't, because I know you have questions, but I just want to say this.
No,
the number six is also the person of prayer. And Mary Magdalene, if you know, she was in this incredible cave in France where I had a miracle healing. And she spent the last 33 years of her life in that cave. And she was there every day praying, the person of prayer, okay? And every single day she was lifted by seven angels in that cave out of her body, and she got like fed by the manna from heaven. And she really became that Christed person, you know? She really became it after he died. And she had the 33 years. So it's very, very powerful to, and again, 33 is six. Do you understand? I mean,
yes. Wow.
So it's all in there. And so this year, we really should become these persons of prayer.
Yes.
Moving prayer.
Oh, definitely. All the time. And how can we connect, how can we connect more to the Mary Magdalene energy during this time when it's so important?
I mean, I love to call her in already in the morning when I'm waking up, you know, when I step out the bed, still in bed, I really call her in, and I ask her to be with me and to guide me and to surround me or enfold me in her dark red golden light. And sometimes red has such a negative attitude for spiritual people, but it's not true. The deep red, you know, the funny thing with the deep red and the gold is, she comes with the golden energy from the heavens, and through the red, we can bring it into the material life. So this is the power of the red, golden, or the gold, deep red energy of Mary Magdalene. And I see so many people, you know, who can meditate very well and they go like up, but they can't deal with the daily life. And for me, that's not spiritual again, you know, that's just, how do you say it? Flight? Going away? Fight, flight.
Yes.
and instead of just being present, and you need the physical body, because we have the physical body to do something here. So this red golden energy, if you ask her to really surround you with that energy and you breathe it in deeply, and there's this powerful affirmation, you can speak, you bring your hands into prayer position. You can do that now if you feel like. And I call this position the Madonna triangle. Feel your crown chakra. Feel your arms, feel your heart, and feel the sacred triangle. And feel coming into another sort of peace. And now feel the energy of Mary Magdalene coming. And I ask her to surround every one of us with her powerful deep red and golden light. And just breathe it in deeply and repeat with me, or better after me, silently or loud, however you want to. I am within me. I am love. I choose light, and light doesn't judge. I am within me. I am love. I choose light, and light doesn't judge. I am within me. I am love. I am light, and light doesn't judge. Breathe in deeply 3 times. And anchor the words and the energy of Mary Magdalene into your being. And open your eyes again, and you're a different person. Could you feel that?
Oh, yes.
My entire body.
Wow.
She's there. She's here.
She's here.
You know, and if you start a day like that,
yes,
because you connect with her incredible energy to bring heaven on earth. You know, because we are heavenly being, but in a human incarnation. So we have to bring our heavenly energy onto this planet with our body through our divine vessels. And so this red, golden, gold, red light is incredibly powerful. And then if you speak these words like I am with me, so you really connect with your essence. Then I am love. And first you say, I choose light, because you have first to choose it, because there's so much darkness out there.
Yeah.
And only at the third time, when you repeat it, you say, I am light. And light doesn't judge. And this is so important. And if we say this consciously, not automatically, but consciously every day or every morning, we start our days completely different.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You know, that's what I said. I have to see how the conversation goes. So I bring in these things for life, you know.
So wonderful. And when did you come into contact with Mary Magdalene the first time?
This was also very, very special. I can't exactly tell you whether it's 14 years ago or 15 years or something, like more than 13 years ago. Yeah. But I remember that night. I was lying in bed with my now husband. I don't know whether we were already married back then, but now husband. And I was lying in bed. And because it's also sometimes interesting with the dates. Mm-hmm. And he was lying next to me and sleeping very well. And I had one of these nights where I just had to do other things. And so they don't let me sleep. It's all fine. So I'm always prepared, you know. I'm accustomed to not sleep much. And all of a sudden, I mean, it was dark in the room, but I could I could see, still could see. All of a sudden, I feel this presence on my left side, and I look up from my bed, and there is standing this incredible, gracious, beautiful woman enfolded with this dark, deep red coat. And I just knew immediately, this is Mary Magdalene. And she greeted me as a sister, and like, as we had known each other for a very, very long time. And I was really like, so struck by her presence. And then the dimensions started changing, and she took me back to Jerusalem. And I remember we were walking through very narrow streets. It was in the night, very, very dark. And she brought me to a secret place where Jesus was talking to his apostles. And it was not only men, it was also women. And I was also there. And this was the start. From that day, she never left my side. And I remembered. I mean, what you probably don't know is that my family didn't have TV. Mm-hmm. And when I was just walking, a really small child, so I couldn't have seen it. Every, how you say, Good Friday, the day when Jesus was crucified, every Good Friday, I would have this visions of him being hung up to the cross. So everything, I was, every year I became severely ill on Good Friday. I was severely ill, and I always had the vision of the crucifixion. And I just didn't understand where this came from until I was something like 33. And I went backwards in time, past life regression, and I knew, yeah, I was there. I was watching the whole thing. And so it made totally sense that Mary Magdalene came to bring me back, to remember the moments I had shared with them in past times. And I will never say who I was, because it's not about me, you know, it's just not about me, because people always say, oh, no. And you know, I call this always past life tourism, and I don't like that. Mm. It's not about who you were back then. It's how about who you are now.
Mm. Yes.
But the thing is, that was my connection. And my connection to Jesus was there since I could walk.
Mm.
So he was my closest friend. The angels came later.
Mm.
And Mary Magdalene consciously also came later in this lifetime.
Mm.
But since that day, which is like, I don't know, 14 or 15 years ago, she never went away anymore.
Okay.
And then, which was the moment which changed everything again, it was 2012. I mean, we all knew what is 2012. Yeah. We all were waiting for December 21st.
Yes.
Right? For the big change. And what happened? On Christmas Eve, I got so, let's say, severely ill that I had a near-death experience, was out, gone, totally gone.
Okay.
Again. And I was on the other side. And you need to know, my father had died in that year. So when I was on the other side again, I thought, this time I stay, I don't come back. Mm-hmm. I mean, my father is there, and we had a very incredible connection. He was very spiritual, which was in that time not so normal.
Mm-hmm.
He started in the 50s with 13 years doing yoga every single day in the 50s.
Wow.
This was my father, just to have an idea.
That's unheard of.
Nobody did it.
No,
but he. So you know, this was my father. So he had died, and this was kind of something, because we were really very, very close. And so I thought, okay, I'm now on the other side, I stay. I mean, I don't want to go again through all this, excuse me, all these tough things. I just don't need it again. I stay. But then Jesus appeared. And he told me, yeah, it's your decision. If you wish, you can stay. But I want to say you something. If you stay now, you didn't finish your mission for this lifetime. And then I thought, if I have to come back and go through these stupid teenage years again, I don't want to do that.
No, thanks.
And of course, I thought about my husband and about my mother. I mean, hello. Yeah, because this would not have been nice for my mother to lose her husband and me. And we have there was no sister because my mother nearly died at my birth. So so I took the decision to come back, but I didn't come back immediately. I was in this in between, and Jesus Christ sent me kind of a movie, and I saw this entire book as a movie within light seconds.
Wow.
And so I knew now I have to go on the journey and to travel to all these places I have to write about. And so I really can bring the energy into the book. And this was the moment. So it was really like this Christmas Eve 2012, where the Aquarian Age started to come in.
Exactly.
Where I went from angel lady to Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene, you know? This just changed the mission. I mean, the angels are still there.
Yes.
But it was really, this was the turning point, like from Piscean Age into the Aquarian Age, from angels to Mary Magdalene, Jesus Christ, and to bring the Christ energy down on this planet. Mm. I mean, which is truly about love.
Yes.
And freedom and truth, you know, it's not about what the church tells us. You know, I'm totally in peace with church. This is also important. If you want to be on this path, you have to come. Even if you know what happened all there, you have to come into peace with that.
Mm.
But this was for me like the big, 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 big change again, you know, first big change from pianist to angels. And then
Yes.
So also I, you know, I'm clairvoyant, I can hear the angels, I can hear the being. Also, I never know when the next big twist in my life comes.
No, but that's really exciting.
Yes, it is.
But to know that it can come something new. That's really exciting.
That's so exciting, you know, that and the point is, even if you know a lot, if you have these abilities, they only show you as much as you can handle right now. Because if they had told me you have to have another near-death experience again and again and again and again, I was grateful not to know it, to be honest.
Exactly.
No, so it's all fine now. But it's good that even if we can see a lot into the future, if we are very open and our senses are open, it's great that we have to go step by step our life. Yeah. Everyone. So this was the point when I really decided now I walk on the path of Mary Magdalene. Mm. I follow her and as I'm a musician, let's still, even if I'm not practicing playing right now because there's just no time, but in my heart I still am. And so you all know the books about Mary Magdalene with the paintings, with the art, and here it's about music and ballet. It's like bringing that in connection. So it's the other kind of arts, you know.
Yes Wonderful.
So I think you can I think it will be for you too. This.
Yeah, definitely. I can really feel that. And I have been also, I've been, you know, reading so many books and also tapping into her energy.
Yes.
And it's so, I feel, I can't really explain it, but I feel it's such a grace. And it's, to me, I can feel such big trust. And I never feel alone anymore.
Yeah.
And that's so beautiful. And it's so much love.
Yes.
So much love. And you know, real love.
Yes, the real one.
Yes, yeah. The real one.
The real one. The fierce love.
The fierce love. Not the superficial love. I can feel it in my whole body when I'm really tuning into it. And that's so I'm so grateful for that. And I just want to keep exploring.
She is just
And you, I know that you mentioned in another podcast, I'm just going to look at it here because it was such a beautiful quote, where you said that Mary Magdalene said that we can only come back into peace when the masculine and the feminine energies melt and come in unison.
Exactly.
That's exactly so powerful, I think. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I love to. And this is also the Mary Magdalene, the Magdalene frequency in this year about, you know, because if you see the number six, right?
Yeah.
You have three and three, right?
Yes.
And if you, for instance, take the six-pointed star, okay? We have the upper triangle and the lower triangle. Not to say one is less than the other, but one stands for the feminine energy and the other stands for the masculine energy. And it becomes the sacred six-pointed star or the sacred six-petaled rose. Again, we have one side with three petals and we have the other side. So we have, and now listen, it's very interesting. We have three, right? And together it's six. So we have three, six, three. And you know what this is in the Hebraic gematria, the number of the numbers, it's the number of the Messias. Mm-hmm. So the Messias energy is also coming into the frequency of the Magdalene, you understand? So it's really, we have an incredible chance. And like from the Kundalini technology and Yogi Bhajan, I mean, he knew so much about Jesus. This is so amazing if you go deep with him. And he also said about the six, the number of the arc line and the person of the prayer is this incredible unison. And this is exactly what we need, you know? And the Magdalene energy is again the six of the three triangles. And we have, again, we have the chakras, you know, we have the lower triangle, we have the higher triangle. Again, six-pointed star, if we want to put it, if you want to, because the heart is just the bridge. The heart is something totally different. And again, we have like more the earthly energies, like the red of the Magdalene, and the heavenly energies, the gold. So you see how it all fits perfectly in. And it's truly, and the Magdalene is never against men. But what she says is, you know, we didn't succeed with patriarchy. We didn't succeed with matriarchy. The only thing which is possible to work is if the female and the masculine, the divine feminine, the divine masculine merge and come together. And what most people don't think about, but it's the truth. Jesus was the very first man known on planet Earth who saw women as equal. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
I mean, hello? Yeah. I mean, we still have a lot of work to do on that one.
Yeah.
But there was this man who chose that woman to bring an energy into the world which is beyond words, which really means equality.
Yeah.
And that's about it, you know, as long as these energies, but no matter which gender you are, it doesn't matter because all of us have both energies within. Yeah. But first of all, every one of us needs to have peace within the own feminine and masculine energies to be able to come into peace with the other gender outside of us. Mm-hmm. No matter where we are and no matter what we feel like. You know, it's not about men, it's not about women, it's about truly becoming into this oneness, into this divine balance, not the human one we think with our mind and where we bang things up, but this true balance and this true knowing that no one is more and no one is less, that we are all equal and all a spark of the same origin. I say God, others say source. It's fine. I mean, for me, it's very important to have no theme with the word God, because again, if I have still a theme with the word God, I'm not in peace, you know? So I use very consciously that word and not source. Mm-hmm. I don't speak unconsciously. It's very, very important which kind of words we use. It's very, very important which kind of sound we use. So I totally understand if people don't like that word. But if you don't like that word, whoever is listening, I ask you to look deeper. Mm-hmm. There's something behind which still needs healing. And as long as you have a theme, you haven't forgiven God, and you still think God is responsible for everything, but he's not, because every single human being has a free will. And what is happening out there in the world has nothing to do with God. This must be very clear. Because this is the task as human beings. We can decide for this side, we can decide for that side. We live on a polarity planet. So in every single moment, we have the choice to go on the pling pling, you know, confirmation. So we have the possibility. This is a sign. We have every single moment, we have the possibility to go on the light side or on the dark side.
Yeah.
And it's our choice. And you know, if he hadn't given us the free will, it would be so easy. Then it would be easy. But now it's your choice, your task, to be on the light side and not on the dark side. And this is for me always very important, to be very, very clear about words and why we use words.
How do you think we can get more balanced by the feminine and the masculine?
Mm-hmm.
These days when the masculine is so overwhelming.
That's a very good question. And the point is, to be honest, I as a woman was very, very much on the masculine side too, because also as a pianist, you know, you practice like mad, you have a discipline like crazy, it's all about doing. And what Mary Magdalene says is, only when the women of this world become receptive again, the world can come back into peace. And receptive means that we do nothing, and we don't push, and we don't act, we just are. And if we women truly understand, you know, and I don't know whether, you know, probably not. In 2020, I brought a new tool down into the world, which is called the Sacred Women Sessions, which is about the female cycle, about the moon cycle of the woman and how to heal it. And so I went very, very deep for many, many years into that theme. And for a woman, it is more important than for a man to know about the different stages of the cycle, what they mean, and that you really, really every single month have to go into rest. In the moment, sorry for the words, but when we are bleeding, we have to go out of the world. But as we have this society which asks us to be functioning all the time, most of women don't take this time for themselves, and so they burn out. But what Mary Magdalene, who is the one of the dark womb, who is the one of the Black Madonna, hello, it's all about the womb space. Mm-hmm. And if we women don't connect back to the most sacred part of us, and if we don't go back into the deep secrets, into the deep mysteries of our womb space, we will never know what truly receiving means. And only if we take this time off the world, which does not mean that we don't work, even if we take just 1 hour, you know, or half an hour, where we just take the space where we are alone, not the normal meditation. I mean, really in that time especially, and just be and ask yourself, what do I need? Know that you need more sleep in that time. Take more sleep. And you know, this is all about receiving. But if we women are not able to receive how shall our children learn it? And we may, it's changing now, but normally the mothers are educating the men, the boys. Mm-hmm. So if we don't act like an example, what it means to be a true female energy embodiment, how shall our daughters learn to become that? And how shall our sons learn to really honor the feminine? So it starts with every single one of us, you know, we are the ones who have to change the world. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is known from all the big masters, from all the wise teachers, that it starts with the Western woman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have to do that. Yes, because we were pushing our careers, all of us, be honest. I mean, or working too much, all of us. Mm-hmm. And thinking we have to handle everything. No. We don't have to handle everything. This sentence in every airplane is so important to remember. Put your oxygen mask on first. And if we truly, and this is what Mary Magdalene means, and Mary Magdalene stands for the week before the cycle starts, when already the dark phase comes, you know, the grandmother of Jesus, Anna, stands for the phase when the bleeding starts. But Mary Magdalene comes in the week before, when we get angry, when we get like really, we get this feeling we have to speak our truth. That's the Magdalene phase of the cycle, you know? And this is the moment when we have to start to go more away from the world. And when the bleeding starts, when the Anna phase comes, the grandmother phase comes, the phase of the wise woman, if we truly take that, we have so much energy afterwards that we can handle anything, you know, better than if we work 4 weeks through.
Yeah.
And so this is about becoming receptive again, because becoming receptive also means if we take this time for ourselves resting, we get the most downloads ever. It's the most sacred, magical time of the months for a woman, but for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, we were told that we are not pure, that we are, and it's so deep within us that very rare women allow themselves to take that time. But we need that time to change the world. We truly need.
And we need to change the world.
Yes, we do.
Yes. So and, we need to take that time.
And the point is what most people don't think. They all think you can change the world only if you do. No. You can change your world with your presence. Mm. Because the presence of someone who is in peace travels many, many miles and helps many, many people who are living in these miles to change without knowing. So there are people who have to go out and talk, and there are people who have the assignment to stay within and meditate and emit an energy which changes the world. They're both people needed. And we women have the capacity to be both because of our cycles. So we need to know when we have to go out into the world and talk, and when we have to go into the silence, into the womb space and receive and listen. Because in this world of noise all the time, constant noise and constant bombarding through, let's say, the fast internet, you know, not I don't blame it. I just say it. We are bombarded all the time with more messages than people in former times in 1 year. We in 1 day, 1 month, you know, it's just totally different, but we have to handle that. And we can only handle it if we take time to become still and rest and not push, knowing when to speak, knowing when to listen, knowing when to be silent, knowing when to act, knowing when to receive. Just be in this divine feminine flow. And this changes everything. And if we understand, this is also, I think, a very, very important message. I know many women now speak about it, but it makes a difference whether just women speak about it or you do it together with Mary Magdalene. If you truly understand how sacred your cycle is, you won't hate it anymore and you won't lose energy anymore and you will have less or no pain anymore. And you will be there and know that just this moment, which makes you uniquely a woman, is the moment where your magic is the most sacred, the most high. The moment when you're able to change the world from within to without or to the outside. But you understand what I my English is not perfect, but you understand what I'm...
Yes, totally.
And that's it. And we need to come in that space. And you know, if we are in that space, of peace, our auric field becomes much bigger than when we are acting and talking like crazy. And the truth also about what we shall do about our personal missions come in that moment. Because, you know, we are so busy, but the real deep truth come in the moments when we dare to look deep and be silent. It's not always comfortable. I know. That's why a lot of people run away from these, let's say, darker times of our cycle. But actually, we can only hold the highest light if we are able to deal with the darkness within. And as long as we are human beings and not ascended master floating above the earth, as long as we are human beings, there is darkness within us. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's part of the duality. And the more able we are to see that there are also these parts of us, and Mary Magdalene is the one who truly helps us, because she's also the Black Madonna, to truly help us to look with the eyes of love into our own darkness, and so we can transcend, transform, and heal it. But only if we are able to see that, we can become whole. And already Carl Gustav Jung said so beautifully, it's not about becoming perfect. It is about becoming whole. And you don't become enlightened, also him, you don't become enlightened by envisioning figures of light. You become enlightened when you know to deal with your own darkness. And Mary Magdalene is exactly that, with the red and gold. The Black Madonna is not as easy as Mother Mary. Most people prefer that Madonna. I mean, I love Mother Mary. I could talk days about Mother Mary, but you know what I mean?
Yes.
But we need that the Magdalene energy, because she was so courageous. She was the one who was more brave than the male apostle, you know. Yeah. She knew for everything she would do, she could be killed after he was crucified. You know, but she was just courageous because she could deal with the darkness. She could deal with being killed every single day. She just could deal with it. And that's darkness, you know. It was not just love and light in that times. It was tough times. And that's what we have to understand. When we truly can deal with the parts within us, we normally would rather not to talk about, not to look at, but if we learn to do that. And that's why leukemia was so fantastic, you know. It was just the greatest gift, because when you lose everything, you know, and you lose your hair, you lose everything which a normal person has, all the fears, all the shadows come up, and you just have no chance not to look at.
Yeah,
so it was the biggest gift life could throw at me, that I had to look at every single fear and transform it with these incredible beings. Does this make sense for you?
Totally. I'm just in awe right now. It's, I'm so grateful for you to bring this up with this, you know, the light and the darkness and the Magdalene energy, to dare to sit, to dare to stay in the darkness also, because it's really easy to run away.
Yes.
But it's so important to dare to stay.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm Pisces. We are both Pisces.
Yes.
A bit, you know, like running away from reality sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, but I love Pisces. I love Pisces. The Pisces, I really love the Pisces energy. But I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Yes, I can, you know, okay, but I'll just put in my earplugs and listen to a good book when something gets a little bit rough, and if I, you know, run away into a romantic story instead of just dealing with myself.
Yes.
But it's such a good teaching to just stay, dare to stay, because then you can heal.
Exactly.
And then you can go to the next level, or to just, yeah.
Exactly. And what is so important, then you are at that point, you know, that just something dark comes up, or you feel, you see something about yourself you rather wouldn't like to see or admit. In that moment, call in Mary Magdalene immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And ask her to enfold you with her deep red coat. Like, you're really enfolded in this coat, which holds you, which warms you. And then together with her, you look at that.
Mm.
And you look deeply through the eyes of love, the eyes of compassion, not the eyes of judgment, you know? I choose light, and light doesn't judge, remember? Even if you see the darkness. You have to really memorize that, kind of. It has to go deep. So in the moment, you find dark spots within you, which you couldn't love maybe till today. You look there and you say, okay, I see you. And start talking to that part of you. What does this part of you want to show you? And mostly something deeper lies underneath. And it's never about blame. It's never about shame. It's never about guilt. That's very important. All the angels say this. Mary Magdalene says this. Never judge, discern.
Mm.
No? Because Krishnamurti also said this so well. But it fits also very well to Mary Magdalene. He said, every kind of judgment and every kind of comparison is war. We have enough war out there, outside. We don't need war inside.
No.
So no judgment, no comparison, just looking. And then you have all the love within you, within your heart, within the 13th chamber of your heart. There's your God essence, the purest part of your love. Mary Magdalene gave me that teaching in the 13 is the number of Mary Magdalene too, like 22, because 13 is the number of the divine feminine. In the 13th chamber of your heart is your purest essence, which is just love and nothing else, pure divine love. And with that love, again, look like it was the most beloved person in that situation. And then ask yourself, what would you tell the most beloved person if she or he was in a situation like that? And the love of Mary Magdalene is with you. And then you can send your love into places of your being, into places of your character, into places of your personality, into places of your body, which you couldn't love before. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you start to feel a love for yourself you never felt before.
Wow.
And to be honest, it was not easy to lose the hair, to lose the eyebrows, to lose the eyelashes, to like everything changed, you know? But that's the reason why I truly know what self-love is. Because if you put on makeup or extensions or fake breasts or whatsoever, it's not self-love. Even if you like it, I have nothing against it. But if people who do that want to teach me self-love, I say, take away your hair, take away your fake breasts, take away this, and then we see how much self-love stays. You know, But this was for me. There was one day in hospital, honestly, one day in hospital, when because I had to get these kind of hormones, because I was not allowed to bleed, because with leukemia, if I had menstruation, I would have died because the blood would just flow out of my body. So I had this very, very tough hormones to not have menstruation. And at a certain point, I really became like, not fat, but I became more full everywhere, you know, and I was kind of no hair, you know, no eyebrow. And one day I looked into the mirror and it was really, I hate you. This was one day where I really, I threw a tantrum, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
And normally I was very peaceful. Nobody could understand how I could be so peaceful in that situation. But this day, there was one day I just couldn't. I thought I looked like a monster. Of course I didn't, but that was my opinion about myself. And my mother was really shocked because she had never seen me like that in my life, because it was always not an angry person, an easy person. And then I remembered Louise Hay. And it costed, I can't tell you how much it costed me that day. But I went in front, back to the mirror, looked into the face I thought looked like a monster. And I started to say, I like you, but I couldn't look into my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed, I like you. I tried again, I stayed till I was able to look into my eyes deeply, deeply, deeply and say, I love you, Isabel.
Mm.
And this was the day I truly learned what self-love means. I will never, ever forget that day in front of the mirror, you know? And this is the moment, in a moment like that, you realize it's not about hair. It's not about clothes. It's not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about, it's about the communication you have with yourself and the communication you have with others. And this I realized, there's nothing more important in this life than how we communicate with ourselves and how we communicate with others. This changes the world.
Mm. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I think that was actually the most beautiful thing, and such beautiful words to end this podcast, I think. Thank you so much, Isabel.
No, thank you. I would just like to have you with me during my days, always.
Yes, me too.
Telling me those messages.
just imagine I am.
Yeah.
Just imagine I am, because a lot of people who have also done like events with me or read my books really hear my voice, or maybe it's not happened for you, but I really appear nearly every night to several people. I'm traveling all the time, and every week I get a lot of emails from people where I appeared in dreams and taught them things or spoke with them, and I do, you know, so I'm there. So maybe you just need to open yourself up and you will feel my presence. And also in my book, this is the only one which exists in English right now, mm-hmm. The Power of Your Angels. When I wrote it,
mm-hmm.
I imprinted that everybody who does this 28-day program with the angels
mm-hmm.
feels that I'm standing or sitting next to you. Mm-hmm. And so many people from all over the world, because it exists in 5 languages, mm-hmm. so many people from all over the world just wrote me. I have always the feeling when I do this program, you're just right at my side. So this is, I'm there. Believe me, Emma. Believe me, Josephine. I'm more there than you can imagine.
Thank you.
That sounds wonderful. We will tap into your energy.
You're allowed to.
When, allowed. You know, when we Pisces want to, you know, fly away.
Yeah, and then go to the Aries, you know. I'm an Aries. I'm really like, and I'm Taurus, so I'm really bringing things, You know, the Aries is the one who brings the things into the world, and the Taurus is setting them, you know,
materializing them.
It's a kind of good combination.
Good combo. Yes, I'm Aries rising, actually.
Oh, cool.
I have a little bit of that as well.
That's helpful also for the Pisces.
Yes, it is.
I love the Pisces energy, you know, the mystic and also the... The dreamy space. Yeah. The visioning. I mean, hello, of course, you know. And the funny thing is, because often people say, because we are in the zodiac, we are so near the Pisces and then the Aries, mm-hmm. and normally they don't go so well with each other, but I think it goes perfectly well. I love the Pisces in my life.
Yes, and I feel the same about Aries. My husband is Aries and my son is Aries.
So oh, wow.
We have a lot of Aries, and my daughter is Aries. She has Aries moon, I think.
Wow. My husband is Aries too. We are two Aries.
Two Aries.
Love of fire. But good, really good.
Yeah, very good, yes.
That's really very, very, very special too. And but of course, I have a lot of water also in my horoscope. Otherwise, I couldn't be who I am, you know, of course.
Exactly.
Of course. So it was such an honor, such a joy. And I wish you incredible success, but not in the normal way of success. I wish you incredible success with your podcast, to really reach the hearts and souls of people, to help them to really be or become their highest versions, to open their hearts and be in the presence of love so often as possible. This I wish for you, you know, because if your podcast changes the lives of people, it doesn't matter the number, but Jesus Christ said so beautiful, it's not about the number of people you touch, but how deep you touch them. And this I wish from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you so much, and so much love to you. And I just wanted to say that during this conversation, I before the conversation, I was thinking, I was tapping into my, you know, the divine feminine and feminine energy within me, because I sometimes can go away a little bit too much in the masculine, to be very much action and, you know, focused on the manuscript, or, you know, like being too much in the head. But I was, and I think in this was your energy who, you know, you held that energy for us to be able to completely be in the heart during this conversation. So I was, you know, closing my eyes, finding myself closing my eyes several times. And I just felt that it was like I was listening from the heart and speaking from the heart. I have almost never experienced this. So I just wanted to share that with you. Wow. Because it was such a cool experience.
Thank you so much. It's so beautiful to know. I mean, that's what I really always envision when I start a conversation, like, and I really talk from many different layers when I talk. There's nothing, as I said, unconscious. And because I know, if you know to play like music with your words, you change the frequency and the auras of the people you talk to. And so it's not just that I'm talking if I'm talking. No, that's what you felt. That's
I
what
could really feel it. Yes.
Yeah.
And I felt it too. You know, we had a lot of questions. We had it written down and had a mind of where the conversation would go, and this went to some other place, and it went perfect.
It was perfect.
And you know, you never know, we can do it again another time.
Oh, it would be wonderful. I mean, we could have you on every day.
No, but yeah. I really mean that, because the energy is really flowing.
Yes.
Ask me in a half year or so, you know, because it's in some... some people I come back because it just makes sense, you know, and it is just really, I enjoyed it so much with you. So
thank you.
Just ask me.
We will.
And you know, it will take time, maybe, but in divine time, we will meet again. Because, of course, we are all busy in a good way. Mm. And for me, it's always important, you know, when I make an appointment like I did with you, it's not just, yes, I will do that too. No, I take my time. I want to be prepared. You know, I just don't put these kind of conversations in between like a sandwich. I really try to have myself prepared, like if I would do a session with someone or like if I would do a workshop. So it's really this kind of preparation. And so I just always, when I ask you, I want to be totally present, not 100%, but 1,000%. And so that's why I say a lot of times no, but if I say yes, you can be sure I'm 1,000% there.
Yes, and we felt that. But we will reach out again when you know, the divine timing is here. And so
we definitely
want to reach out again. And I was also thinking if we could, the challenge that you have now, I think we should.
Commitment.
Commitment. The commitment that you are doing now, or that we are also trying to. I would really love to do that with our podcast listeners, I feel. Yeah. So we can try, look at your Instagram, they can just look back and
exactly
just and, do it for 40 days from the release.
And you know, my let's say my idea, or better, Mary Magdalene's idea, is that after 40 days we stay committed for the rest of our life, you know.
That would be perfect. We'll try that as well.
Because I mean, if not we, who will be the first, you know? I mean,
no, exactly.
It's like Gandhi said so beautifully, be the change you want to see in the world. It's like that. It starts with every single one of us, and peace starts with you. Peace starts with me and not with someone out there.
No.
We have to be the peace we want to see. We have to be the love we want to be, to see. We want to be the light we want to see outside. That's it. It's so simple and looks so simple. It's not so simple, but we do our best to be every day better and better.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was so lovely. As I would say in real life, a big, big angel hug for both of you.
And to you, back to you. Much, much love.
I feel it.
So much love.
So thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
You
and
too.
See you maybe one day live again in person. This would be great.
That will happen.
Wherever, whether it will be in Mallorca or wherever, we never know. Life is a miracle.
That's what's so exciting.
Exactly.
Yes.
All the best. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Bye bye.
And see you. Bye.
Bye
bye bye. Spiritorious, 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 spiritorious.